we're going to continue our series today on fasting. And even though I know it's going to seem as if I prepared this message specifically for this situation, Miss Becky, I can assure you, this is a promise. This was prepared over a month ago for me to preach this message this day. Now, I don't know if you believe God works that way and that far in advance, but I do. I believe He does, and I hope that this ministers to your hearts today if you're grieving. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about fasting. And the title of our message is A Natural Response to the Sacred and the Grievous. And we're going to talk about fasting as body grief. Fasting as body grief. So the idea that we grieve with our bodies and the idea that we're supposed to fast as a natural response to that grief is what the Scripture teaches us all throughout. Now, you've heard this and learned a little bit about it all through the series so far, so we've touched on it. But this is going to deal specifically with the idea that grief brings about this human desire to fast or to withdraw from eating for a time. So what I want to do is I want to bring up our first slide this morning, and we're going to contrast modern grieving to biblical grieving. Modern grieving to biblical grieving. And I think this is going to make a lot of sense once I get into it. You're going to understand where I'm going with this. But a great many times today when we grieve in our society, maybe this doesn't apply to you, but as a whole, I think it applies. When we grieve, there's a place in us that's empty. There's a place in us that's empty. That's what grief is. Grief means you have lost something or someone that's meaningful to you, and there's a spot in you that's empty, and you feel emptiness. You feel like it needs to be filled. So modern grieving usually takes the form of people trying to fill that void with something. They try to fill that void with something. So there are times where I've seen people grieving that go out and they get drunk on alcohol. Have anybody ever seen that? Raise your hand. Right? What they're doing is they're saying there's an empty spot in me, and if I drink enough, it'll fill it up, or at the very least, help me to do what? Forget. There are some people who turn to drugs, whether that's illegal or prescription drugs, and I've seen this happen before. Someone passes away in their family or a loved one, and they say, there's this empty spot, and I cannot deal with it right now, so I'm going to take these drugs until either the hole is filled or I what? Forget, right? It's about forgetting. Now, some people, they turn to their work, right? If they have a job and they have that loss, they say, well, I'm going to go back to work, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to work. I'm going to give all the overtime I can give. I'm going to spend all the time I can at work, because the more I work, the more I can get my mind off of it, right? And I can focus on work, and I don't have to focus on that. Now, you can go all through the way that different people react, but I see a lot of times today when people are grieving and they have that empty spot, they want to fill it or they want to forget it, right? They want to forget it. So they try to fill their life full of something that will distract them or fill up that spot. But that's in contrast, stark contrast, to the biblical form of grieving. Because in the Bible, people didn't try to forget. People didn't want to fill up that spot. They wanted to grieve. They understood it as part of a natural human process. That if you put it off, it's going to hit you sometime down the road, but you got to deal with it. If you try to fill it up with something else, it's never going to work, because it's never going to replace the loss that you felt. The things that we do today when we grieve don't really help us at all. They only hinder us, or they put something off until a later date. Can I get an amen? Happens all the time with modern grieving. I want to read to you a passage today out of the book that I've been studying. And he talks about how they grieved in biblical times. And I want you to contrast this to the way you see people grieve today. He said, alongside such examples of fasting, the ancients grieved in ways that seem extravagant to us today. Death could bring on, besides the above-mentioned rending of clothes and wearing of sackcloth, messing up one's hair, or even pulling gobs of it out. tossing dust on one's head and clothing, or even wallowing around in the dust. Even though those methods are not ours, grief is one of the fundamental realities. Sometimes we are surprised with how realistic the Bible can be, and the following psalm reminds us of how real grieving was and is. So in the biblical days, when they would grieve and they felt that empty spot and they felt that loss, they would fast, they would withdraw from the table and they wouldn't eat. They would rend their clothes, which means they would tear their clothes, rip their clothes, because they're in such agony on the inside, they're expressing it physically on the outside. They would wear sackcloth. Anybody know why they wore sackcloth? Anybody ever felt a burlap sack? How would you like to wear a burlap sack right against your skin all day long? It's uncomfortable. It's itchy. It's abrasive. It's something that's going to make you feel bad, right? And they would wear sackcloth. They would rip their clothes. They would wear sackcloth. They would fast so they would be hungry. They would also sometimes rip out portions of their hair. And then on top of ripping the hair out, they would throw dirt on their head, and the dirt would get in the wounds. And sometimes they would be in such bad shape. Understand, they were fasting. They were tearing their clothes. They were wearing sackcloth, ripping out their hair. They would literally get in the dirt and wallow in front of others. I mean, this was a public spectacle. Sometimes they would do it right out amongst the people. That is how they grieve. Now, am I advocating that you grieve that way? Absolutely not. I don't think that the Bible teaches us that those responses are the appropriate responses. But I do believe the Bible teaches us that fasting and prayer are appropriate responses to grief. In every situation, you see those in the Old and the New Testaments responding to grief by fasting and prayer. And it was something that was very natural. It was very natural. But because we've trained ourselves over time to grieve by filling our lives full of things, whether that's work or drugs or alcohol or even food. How many of you here, and just be honest, you've been through a time of grief sometime in your life, and how you dealt with it was you ate. You went and got some ice cream, had some comfort food. I got one hand, two hands, three, four, five, six, seven. Right. This is the society we live in where we say, maybe it's not the drugs, maybe it's not the alcohol, maybe I'm not a workaholic. That's not how I do it. But how I respond to grief is I eat. It's the same exact principle at work. You're trying to fill your life full of something that's going to take away the pain or that's going to help you forget it. But the Scripture teaches us that a time like this, where you're grieving, where you're hurting, where you've lost something, that the people in the Scriptures would want to draw closer to that feeling, not tear themselves away from it. That they would want to experience it as viscerally as they possibly could. They didn't want to forget it. They wanted to deal with it in that moment. They wanted to get through it. And I believe it's because when you connect yourself with grief in that way, that you begin the healing process sooner, and I believe it's more effective. I think when people try to distract themselves and they try to fill themselves up with things that will either help them to forget or fill up that need, they end up putting it off till later, or worse, they carry that with them for the rest of their lives. Now, I don't know if any of you here are in that situation, but maybe you are, and you never fully dealt with your grief. You're here today, and you've got some grief you never truly experienced, and you carry it with you, and every time you feel it, you try to forget it, right? You try to self-medicate with something, and you carry it year after year after year after year. And I'm telling you right now, that's not God's plan for your life. That's not how He would have you deal with your grief. I know it's hard, I know it's difficult, but it's better to deal with it in all of its heaviness and all the weight that comes with it right then and right there, so that He can begin the healing process in your hearts. So what I want to do is I want to show you some times in Scripture where this has been the case. And I want to read to you a psalm today, specifically Psalm 77. You'll notice on your notes you've got that attached to your front page so that you can go back and forth. It was too long to put on the front page, and I wanted you to have a copy of it. All right, so we're going to jump right in this morning, and we're going to talk about the definition of fasting. Now, we did this every week, It still applies today, still applies to this message. It says fasting is the what? Natural, inevitable response of a person to a grievous and sacred moment in life. The only reason that we feel that it's unnatural, and how many of you here, let's be honest, how many of you here feel like for you to fast in response to grief is unnatural at this point in your life? Raise your hand. It's okay to be honest. It's unnatural. It's unnatural because you've trained yourself out of it. You've trained yourself out of it. It is your body's natural response to fast and to pray when you're grieving. So, this is our definition, and I want to show you a few scriptures. Turn in your Bibles. I don't have these on the screen, so get your Bibles out. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 34. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 34. Now I'm going to give you all a moment to get there. Have I spoiled everybody? Is that what I've done, Will? Have I spoiled everybody? Should I stop putting the notes and all that stuff up so we can get back in our Bibles again? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 20. I'm going to go ahead and go there myself. Chapter 20, verse 34. And it says, "So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did not eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame." Now, for a little background on this scripture, Saul had pretty much at this point told Jonathan, "I'm going to kill David," right? He's planning to kill David. And Jonathan and David were very, very close. So Jonathan was grieved at what? The prospect of David's death. Now, David hadn't died yet, but he knew it was coming. He knew there was a day that was imminent, and he was grieving for that future death. So here's a time in the scripture where Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did not eat any meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. Now take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan, his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword." So here's an instance where David was mourning and weeping and responded by fasting because Saul, who was the appointed king, the anointed king of Israel, had been killed. And it says he was also mourning and fasting for Jonathan, for his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were all fallen. So it stood for the nation of Israel, Saul, and for Jonathan. And David's response was to what? To mourn, to weep, and to fast. Now let's take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 35. It says, "And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David was aware, saying, 'So do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down.'" Now this was in response to David having found out about the murder of Abner. Now I don't know how much of the Old Testament scripture that you know in regard to this, but that was Saul's kind of chief. It was his military advisor, his military leader. And David's military leader had killed Abner, had murdered Abner. So even in the case of an enemy, the death prompted David to do what, church? To refuse meat, to fast. So I'm showing you these three scriptures to show you that fasting was the natural and inevitable response of this grievous and sacred moment. You got three situations where either imminent death or the death of someone led to the mourning, to the weeping, but also to what? The fasting or withdrawing from food. All right, so what I want to do is I want to jump into Psalm 77. So this is on your back sheet, and we're going to go through Psalm 77. Now, some authors have titled this the Faster's Prayer. The Faster's Prayer. Now, this prayer or this psalm doesn't have anything to do with fasting in word. So it never tells us to fast, never prompts us to fast, but it gives us insight into what's going on in the heart and the mind of a person who responds with fasting. A person in the Scripture who responds with fasting is feeling what the author was feeling in Psalm 77. So as we read this, I want you to try to connect with some of the feelings that the author was feeling in Psalm 77. So let's bring up the first one. And the first point that I want to make, and this is verses 1 through 4, is that grief takes us to the depths of spiritual and physical weakness. Grief takes us to the depths of spiritual and physical weakness. That means you're weak in the body. How many of you have ever grieved and you've literally felt your body weakened? Your knees buckle. You can't stand up. You don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Physically, you are drained. But it also weakens you spiritually. Because how many of you in a time of grieving have either questioned God or been angry with God or been angry with the world or had a struggle with your faith? Now, you don't have to raise your hand to this. You don't have to admit to it. But it happens, and it happens a lot. And I believe if you read the Scriptures and you study them properly, you're going to find out that this is natural and it's okay so long as you don't allow that to lead you away from God, that there's some sort of hope at the end of it and it ends up strengthening your faith and growing you closer. So what I want to do is I want to prove this to you today by reading Psalm 77 verses 1 through 4. So Caitlin, if you can bring that up, I've got the Scripture right after this. It says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. Now put yourself in the place of this grieving person. The author of this psalm's name was Asaph. Asaph. And put yourself in this position. He says, I cried out to God. I don't think many people understand what crying out to God really means. I think a lot of us think crying out to God is just a simple prayer. It's not. It's a cry. He's crying out. He's saying, God, where are you? God, I need you. It's an outcry of anguish. It's an outcry of pain. How many of you have ever hurt your body physically? I mean, really, really bad. You've had a bad injury. Will, what'd you do when you hurt your body? You cried out, right? You cried out. You said, ah, this hurts. I can't believe how bad it hurts. I need to go to the doctors. I need some medicine. I need something. Well, see, think about that in terms of the Spirit. And someone who is grieving and mourning for a loss, and it's so painful you've had that ripped out of you, that part of you ripped away, that you cry out to God like you would as if your body had been physically hurt. So he says here, I cried out to God for help. I cried out, God, to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands and would not be comforted. Now, how many of you have ever had a child that's fallen and scraped their knee or hurt themselves in some way? And Mandy, what do? They cry and they reach up for mama, right? They reach up for daddy because they want to be comforted. They want to feel your arms. They want to hear that whisper in their ear that it's going to be okay. They want to feel safe. They want to feel secure. And even if you did nothing, Miss Evelyn, to heal the hurt, just the fact that you're embracing them and telling them that it's going to be okay allows them to get through the initial shock of that pain. And you see the writer saying, when I was in distress, I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out untiring hands. Think of that child that's hurt, stretching out the untiring hands. And it said, I would not be comforted. So imagine he's reaching out for God, but he's not feeling the embrace. Are you following me this morning? He's reaching out to God. How many of you have ever done that? You've spiritually stretched out your hands to the Lord because you were hurting so badly, but you didn't feel the response. You didn't feel the response. You still felt the emptiness and the hurt. That's what he's feeling. He says he could not be comforted. He said, I remembered you, God, and I... When he thought about God, the one that he's crying out to, the one that he's stretching his arms out to, but he's not feeling that security. He's not hearing God. He's not experiencing God at all in that moment. He says, I thought of God and I just groaned. Oh, he's not here. Where is he? I can't find Him. He's not speaking. He's not comforting. I'm still hurting. What's going on here? I thought of God and I groaned. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you've grieved and you've had that thing ripped away? And because you didn't immediately feel the presence of God, because maybe you didn't understand what His plan was for that moment, instead of looking on God with joy and thanksgiving, you looked on God and you groaned. Oh, I can't believe this would happen. I can't believe God would let this happen. Now, it's not something Christians are proud to admit ever happened to them. But I can assure you, I've talked and counseled with enough people to know this happens a lot. The people think about God and there's no joy in some of these moments. All they do is groan. And it said, I meditated and my spirit grew faint. Now we talk about meditating. What they really mean is they're dwelling on God's Word. They're thinking about the situation and how it connects to His promises. They're praying to God. When He says, I meditated, He's saying, I'm trying to understand all this. I'm trying to understand why it's happening and what in God's Word can help me to understand this. Where is God and how does this all work? But instead of getting strength, what does it say in the Scripture? It says, I meditated and my spirit grew faint. So I want you to take all of this in one shot. He says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out for God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out untiring hands and I would not be comforted. I remembered You, God, and I groaned. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing and I was too troubled to speak. Hello. He couldn't go to sleep. He was too grieved. He didn't feel God's presence. There was no comfort in that moment. He said, God, You kept my eyes open. I couldn't even go to sleep. And I couldn't speak. How many of you have ever been in a situation like this and you just couldn't sleep because your mind was racing and you were questioning and you were trying to understand? You were so grieved that you couldn't even sleep at night. Anybody ever stayed awake grieving? How many of you have ever been in a situation, and I see this a lot even though I know that it's good when we come together. I know I was talking to Will the other day and he was talking about how he loved when people visited and, you know, encouraged his family and him, and he liked the social aspect of that and the strength that he draw from it. But have you ever been in a situation where you were so grieved you just didn't want to talk? Or you just couldn't talk at all? You just have to kind of sit in silence. Somebody may be there, they may be talking to you. They may be trying to engage you in conversation. Maybe they're praying with you. Whatever the case may be. But the way you're dealing with it is silence. That's what he was feeling in this moment. And I want you to understand that this is normal. This is Scripture, folks. This is normal. This is the way they grieved in the Scripture. And they felt like God wasn't there at times. They felt like God wasn't listening at times. They felt like God is not embracing me at times. They felt like there was no comfort at times. I don't want you Christians to think there's never going to be a time in your life where you will ever question the presence of God, where you will ever miss out on the presence of God, where you'll be so grieved that you don't understand what He's trying to do, and maybe you get angry about it. Maybe you're restless about it. Maybe you feel distant from God. If you get that way, my encouragement to you this morning is don't embrace that as life forever. Because people can get stuck in this place, Miss Gloria. They can get stuck in this place where the presence of God is gone, where they don't feel His embrace, where they don't feel His comfort, where they don't feel His peace or His joy, and they say, this is just the way it is, and they start to think because God's not real or God doesn't care. See what I mean? And then when they start going down that road, then this becomes their whole life. This becomes the way they live. They embrace this idea that that part of their grief is all that there is, and it's not. So I want you to see that this is real. I want you to see that this has happened. If you're dealing with this today, or if you ever deal with it in the future, know it's biblical, know it's real, know it's normal. But let's progress. Let's take a look at the second one, Caitlin. The second point that I want to make is grief often leads us to question God. It often leads us to question God. Now, folks, if you've never been in a place where you've questioned God, then you're not trying to work through anything in your faith. Because I can tell you right now, if God knows everything and sees everything and is all-knowing, and you are not, if you never question God ever, then you're not trying to grow. I'm just being honest with you. Now, I don't mean questioning in the sense that you lack faith or questioning in the sense that you're rejecting God, but just saying, God, I simply don't understand this moment. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why you would allow this. Show me, teach me, help me to grow. There's a time in all Christians' lives where they question God while grieving. Now, I want to share this with you, verses 5 through 9. Verses 5 through 9. It says, I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. And I remembered my songs in the night. Now, see how it contrasts? Before, he's not able to sleep. He's not feeling the presence of God. He can't even speak. He says, I remember the former days, years long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will He never show His favor again? Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Has His promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He in anger withheld His compassion? Now that's a heavy load of questions for God, don't you think? Now let's read those one more time. He says, will the Lord reject forever? He feels rejected by the Lord. Will He never show His favor again? He doesn't feel like He's blessed. Has His unfailing love vanished forever? He doesn't even feel loved. Has His promise failed for all time? He's rejected the promises. He's not fulfilling promises. Has God forgotten to be merciful? He's not showing me mercy. Has He in anger withheld His compassion? God's not compassionate. He's asking these questions because He's not feeling these things from the Lord. But He's saying there used to be a time, right? There used to be a time where this wasn't the case. There used to be a time where I felt all of these things. There used to be a time where God fulfilled all of His promises, where He was very compassionate, where He loved me, where I felt blessed, where I felt welcome, where I felt like His child. But He said, now I'm questioning because I don't feel any of those things. Sometimes when we grieve, we question God. And I want you to know that that's natural, that's normal, it's to be expected. Don't think you're a bad Christian when you do it. Don't think that you lack faith when you do it. It simply means that you need answers that you currently don't have the answers to. You're asking questions and you need God to respond. And trust me on this. If you have faith in Jesus Christ and you've got the indwelling of that Holy Spirit, God is going to lead you out of this. He's going to bring you through this time of grieving, whether it's the feeling of abandonment, or whether it's the questioning of God and His motives, He's going to bring you into a place of understanding and peace again. I promise you this. So I want you to see, folks, that this is normal. But I want you to take a look at the next one. Caitlin, bring the next one up. This is how it finishes, verses 10 through 20. For the faithful, grief often leads us to a renewed hope in the Lord. And you'll see this theme in Psalms often, where the psalm will start out and it's full of questioning. It's full of God. And they feel like God's abandoned them. And God's not there. And God's not embracing them. But it always ends with a renewed hope in the writer. In him exclaiming, God is God. And God is sovereign. And God is the one who's pouring all the blessings out. So let's read verses 10 through 20. Verses 10 through 20. And Caitlin, those should be right up after this. Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out His right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember Your miracles of long ago. I will consider all Your works and meditate on all Your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are what? Holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display Your power among the peoples. With Your mighty arm, You redeemed Your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The water saw You, God. The water saw You and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Though Your footprints were not seen. You led Your people like a flock. by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now, when you read this in contrast to what we read before, you would think it would have ended on a bitter note. You would have thought that he would have finished it out by saying, you know what? I didn't feel the presence of God. I don't feel the presence of God. I'm questioning whether or not God even loves me anymore. And you know what? He probably doesn't. End of story. But it didn't end with bitterness. He said his response to those feelings, to those questions, to all that he was dealing with, his response was to remember all the good things that God had done. To remember former blessings and former miracles and former times where God provided his leadership, where God lifted them up and carried them through, whether it was spiritually or through Moses and Aaron. And what he did was he said, my hope at the end of this psalm is renewed. Even though I felt like God has abandoned me, even though I've got all of these questions, as I remember all that God has already done, I remember that in this moment, I'm not thinking straight. In this moment, because I'm dealing with this grief, I'm forgetting how good God has been in the past. And because He was good in the past, guess what? That means He's going to be good when? In the future. So right now, maybe I don't feel His presence. Maybe right now I do have questions. Maybe right now I'm hurting and I don't feel that loving embrace. But that doesn't mean it's going to last. That doesn't mean that's always how it's going to be. That doesn't mean the story's finished. So as we grieve and we respond in fasting and prayer, the idea is that we respond that way because we're broken and because we want to draw close to the grieving process and we want God to help us work through it so that at the end we can have that renewed hope in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I want to share the application with you today and we're going to close. The application is this. The next time you're experiencing genuine grief, try fasting and prayer in response. Try suppressing all of your desires to feel it and forget it. Okay? And try fasting and prayer. Try getting in touch with that grief and living in that grief. Because it's not until you actually do that and deal with it that God's going to allow you to heal through it. So try fasting and prayer. After all, it's a natural human response to grief. And though giving way to this natural response, perhaps God will lead you into greater faith and confidence in Him than you've ever known. And I know this isn't something, family, that you want to hear when you're grieving, but it's true nonetheless. Whether it's you've got a family member who's sick, whether it's you've lost someone that's dear to you, whatever the case may be, God can use any situation, as evil and wicked as it seems in the moment, to grow your faith and make you stronger in Him. I promise you, He can do it if you'll let Him. Respond with fasting and prayer. Respond by dealing with the grief. And on the other side, when you get through it and you see that light at the end of the tunnel, you're going to emerge a stronger Christian than you were before it started. And that's part of how God uses these situations to strengthen you in your faith. So what I want to do right now is I'm going to ask Jamie to come forward and he's going to sing the last song of the day. And as we respond to this message, the response is probably going to be varied. It's going to be different from person to person. But this isn't necessarily a call to give your life to Christ, although we always want that in our church services. This is a call to get in touch with the biblical model of grieving and dealing with that hurt and that pain. It's a call for you to understand it the way they understood it in biblical times and to trust in God, but not to be afraid to mourn, to grieve, to question, even to feel like God's left you for a time, and to have confidence in knowing that in the end, you'll have a renewed hope. So I want you to pray this morning, especially those of you who are grieving today. And I think all of us, to some degree, are grieving with you, family. I pray that we can respond the way that God wants us to respond and deal with it. Pray for that strength.